get started. Let me ask my team to do it from home.
Harry's not on yet, Harry.
Stop complaining, kids. We wait. Be fresh.
Got it.
Oh, yes, it is. Because I hear it. Hold on.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 19, 2021, and this is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHH, where you will hear conversation, information, education, inspiration, and motivation from the American urban perspective. I am your host, Kingsley Osei, and my co-host, Shafiq. Man, he goes to Africa every year, and he get caught behind customs, and he just got here. So, you know, he always get here late, so... He just got here, and I told our special guest that I'm going in on him, like all in.
Oh, Alder Shafiq, let me just say this, because you're my local Alder and my friend. I was defending you.
I was defending you.
And I said, I'm going to tell that you're talking about him.
Wow. Well, today on Urban Talk Radio, I'll just be Shafiq.
I can say it, you can't say it.
Yeah, so we will escape any new bullets that's coming this way.
Today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bold Minds, also at Twitter at Bold Minds. You can also join me on my Facebook page, Kingsley Osei, and you can stream this show on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. And today's topic will be COVID-19 misinformation, and we're going to talk about testing. And I say misinformation, however, we have a very special guest who knows very much about this situation, and so we will give you some information. And I think she's out to get Dr. Fauci, because the right is trying to get Dr. Fauci fired. So if I'm not mistaken, she probably put in her application trying to get his job. And at the same time, she's also a candidate running for Secretary of State. I'm not sure if I can say that, but it's only
candidate.
Okay, so yes, she's running for that, and she's going to define what a Secretary of State does, because we hear the term, but you know, due to lack of civic engagement, we can assume that people know what a Secretary of State does. But for right now, she's going to be defining what she does as the City of New Haven health director, trying to get this virus away in Connecticut. So, what's up, Shafiq? How are you this morning?
What's up, man? Before we get started, if we could, I'd like to first take a moment of silence for Officer Diane Gonzalez from the New Haven PD. Officer Gonzalez was in an accident in 2008. Her and Sergeant Dario Ponte was responding to a domestic call, and they collided at Easton in Chapel Street, and Officer Ponte died on scene. Officer Gonzalez was in a coma. She was actually in a coma for 13 years. She died last week. So she's getting buried today. So I got to get off at 12. So if we could just take a moment of silence for her, I'll appreciate that. All right, thank you. All right, let's get on with the show.
Okay, so before we get on the show, I would like to do a shameless plug. Our City of Bridgeport, My Brother's Keeper, Agents of Change program just started. We do have a program today. Every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m., we are running this show virtual. It's a violence prevention cohort. We define, dissect, and discuss violence. And we are doing it virtual. So you may register you may register with me through my email address, Shafiq, there's a lot of noise in your background. CTAgainstViolence.com is how you can reach me to register. And our special guest has been there to as a presenter to talk to the kids. Is that correct, Marissa? You've been there to talk to my agency change.
Yes, I have. And it's a great program. Thank you for the work that you do in serving the youth and getting them engaged, as well as doing positive things in the community. So I love this program. If you live in the city of Bridgeport and you have a youth, a young teenager, a young adult, they should be part of this Agents of Change because we need to develop the future workforce and leaders. And so with that, that's my pitch for the city of Bridgeport, but obviously I'm going to be talking a little bit about the city of New Haven today.
Thank you. And yeah, it is a two cohort program. It's the violence prevention and then the two 10-week programs. And the second cohort is leadership through social justice. And yes, we serve hot meal. We deliver hot meal to students' house after the program. And their incentives include our Agents of Change custom-made face mask, backpack, T-shirt, and a hoodie to keep them warm as well. So that's it for our Agents of Change program. Shafiq is going back and forth. So Marissa, let's start with you. Let's start with you as the New Haven Health Director. Define your position and what it is that you do.
Yeah, so good morning, and thank you for having me on your show again. I think it was around this time last year that I participated in in your segment, and so thank you for the invitation. So yes, I serve as the health director for the city of New Haven, where my job is to, I try to say it in three simple words, to promote, prevent, and protect the health of the residents of the city of New Haven. And for the past 2 years, I've been at the front lines trying to fight this war against COVID. As you know, we are still in the midst of it. I'm happy to be here to help assist with making sure that there's community awareness, take away any myths, and be able to educate, because we know knowledge is power.
Well, we extended this invitation to you because I actually called Shafiq. And I said, Shafiq, we need to get somebody from our Board of Ed on here because we intend to put Marissa on a hot seat. I intend to put her on a hot seat today, but not to be hostile at her, just for the fact that she knows her job. So I thought I'll put her in a hot seat to answer a few questions and educate us at the same time. Going into Christmas, I recall the experts, including Dr. Fauci, they talk about it's going to be a surge. And yes, there was a surge after Thanksgiving because, you know, when we could get into these holidays, meeting family and friends and going to events, et cetera, et cetera. This virus is real. And, you know, sometimes people tend to forget that it's not there. So some of us, we gear ourselves for it and we take the preventive measures. Some people don't. Sometimes we let our guards down. So I would have thought that anticipating in the surge, you know, they should have at least taken 2 weeks virtually before letting the kids back in school. That did not happen. It's a statewide thing. Some states did it. Connecticut, to my knowledge, didn't do it. Marissa, talk to me. What is going on? And I'm going to tell you what went on in my household. My wife is an educator. She caught the virus. She tested positive when we came back from Michigan. I didn't, but I was even more sick than she was. Mm. Within that 5 days.
You went to a red state?
Yes, I did. Yes, okay. Yes, I did. And you know what's crazy?
You traveled in the middle of a surge.
No. Let's keep it real. Yes,
went
I did.
Went to a red state. Went to a red state.
Let's keep it real. I went into the bloody red state in a very small town. I went to church. I went to church on.
And he went to church in the
Most churches in blue states are Zoom. Bro.
Well, check it out. Yes, you know, I went to church.
Harry is correcting all of you guys. Mm-hmm.
And pay Harry no mind in the chat. Harry Harry is bloody red, living in a blue state. So So I went to church, and in the church, there was a site where people that was not vaccinated could sit.
Nobody. So you went in a church with a vaccinated side and an unvaccinated side.
There was no sign, bro. I found all this out.
Lord have mercy.
Listen to me. Listen to this story. I found all this out later on. But either way, I went to church. I came back home and, you know, wife tested positive. Me and my daughter, we didn't. So within that week, as soon as we came home, we started looking for testing. We tested. We did not get our test results until 5-6 days later. By the time we got our test results in, we went for another test and she had tested negative. So luckily for her, as an educator who did not have to, who worked from home, she didn't have to go to school, right? But if she was in the area where she had to go to school and not virtual, then guess what? She would have been a teacher who would have been absent. And I had this debate with Shafiq the other day. He said, kids need to be in school. We all agree that kids need to be in school. However, what is kids being in school without teachers being able to educate them if they have this virus and couldn't be? Marissa, take it.
So first and foremost, you just gave me a complex scenario. And you are a classic example that I'm going to have to tell the public of what not to do. Let's talk about this. It's 2 years later.
There was no science. Like, I start from there. There was no science. So let's go ahead. Go ahead.
2 years later, we have Kensley, my amazing friend that I've known for over 6 years. So I just have to use him as a case study at this juncture. Mm-hmm. So if you hear the story of Kensley sharing, he decided to travel around the holidays while we're in the middle of an Omicron variant of concern to another state, comes back, goes and exposes himself to a local church when we know in the middle of a highly contagious virus, he goes into a large indoor gathering of more than 15 minutes with individuals that are not part of his immediate household. So here we are 2 years later, and he did a classic example of what a lot of community people do. We
Harry says super spreader.
He was definitely, he had a super spreader situation. And then he describes the process when he comes back home and does not follow correct isolation and quarantine.
Oh, that processes. I did. No. Marissa, don't twist that. That I did. No,
technically,
that,
he did not test positive. So, yes, he did.
However,
when he shared his story, he tried to tie it back into schools where that is the real question, right? So when we talk about people testing positive, when people test positive for COVID, it is called that we have to isolate them as much as possible to a separate area of the house so that others in the household do not get the disease. Now, I know for a fact that that is proven to work if you follow the algorithm. If you do not follow the quarantine and isolation metrics, you can become a super spreader in your household. So thankfully, Kensley did not have that issue. So why did we open schools and returned our kids back to school in the city of New Haven? Because 2 years later, we have an infrastructure in place. We have all of the mechanisms and tools to be able to ensure that people can have access to rapid testing. So we made sure that we implemented test and stay in our school system in the city of New Haven. So children that either get symptomatic or get exposed and need to remain in school have access to test kits. Now, I agree with you, Kinsley. When we were in the middle of this surge, people were not getting their results in time. And that was a PCR test. So the PCR test is a gold standard test that is very good at detecting disease, but it's also very sensitive. So when you take a rapid home test, it is great when you have symptoms and you need to detect the disease, because they will then detect the disease so that you can be able to quickly figure out if you have it so that you're not going to work or to school. But I agree with Shafiq, who has not provided much detail. Kids need to be in school because we have the proper mitigation strategies in place to be able to function in that. We can't go into panic mode every time we have a new variant of concern. And we know the negative impact that school kids not going to school is much greater than having to try to shut down a school for 2 weeks when we have mechanisms in place to be able to have the support and infrastructure. And guess what? We successfully were able to get through it. Our numbers are now declining. And I'm very happy about that. And guess what? We did not have to shut any classrooms down to that level. We only had a certain number of individuals that got impacted, and we were able to still have the proper coverage so that students can still have a positive learning environment and be able to even have some basic needs like school lunches. That is really important for some children in our city.
So I trust you are definitely speaking on New Haven, which is where you are responsible for. But I also hear all the issues going on in Bridgeport, lack of teachers, the rise, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, there is nobody in here from Bridgeport to defend what's going on in Bridgeport. So I'm going to let Bridgeport be Bridgeport. Shafiq, you want to chime in?
Kids need to be in school. That's what I'm going to tell you. Kids need that. We can no longer afford for our children to not be going to school. It's just, you know, it's not a good thing. Oh, Kingsley. You still, Kingsley, that's you?
I hear feedback, so turn your volume down on any other thing that you have besides your
Yeah. So check it out. So Kingsley, kids need to be in school. That's my position. I know people have different opinions about it, and that's one thing about this virus. It is a very personal issue for people. You know, people get sick. They have their views on different issues around how it has affected their families. But the science says kids are not dying at alarming rates from the virus, and particularly the Omicron variant. It is not as deadly as the initial COVID outbreak. So, you know, why do we, Kingsley, okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. So why would we want to keep kids home? We see all of the fallout that's happening from kids not being educated, not to mention, you know, in 2 years, this is going to have a massive economic index impact to the labor force. I mean, kids are just not going to be job ready. They're not going to be workforce ready. It's just kids need to be in school, man. So I think like now is the time. I love you, so I'll say that in advance. But now is the time for people to not, you know, drop their guard. You gotta, you know, and I'm telling you, and it sucks, man. It sucks. You can't go bowling. You can't go to the movies. You can't go to your favorite restaurant. You know, Saturdays come. You want to go to a restaurant. You can't go to the restaurant. It's just too many damn people. I watch restaurants. In New Haven County, I say that, particularly in New Haven. I will say to the health director, have not seen it in New Haven, but I have been into some surrounding towns. And the
I was
going to
say, let me know, because you know I'll be wanting.
Through the door, and they were like, oh, do I need a mask? And the cashier person working at the counter with a mask was saying, no, you don't need a mask. And I was like, bro, I'm glad I'm leaving.
Shafiq, in the hood, we call that dry snitching.
Oh, dry snitching. I'm dry snitching.
And Marissa from the Bronx, she's very familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm dry snitching. I'm from Brooklyn.
I thought you said, okay, she's New Yorkian, either way.
You can't be throwing stabs to Shafiq while I'm on.
It's called dry snitching, bottom line.
That's what I say, man. It's just like, you know, I think this has become the new conversation, right? The new conversation is, who's dropping their guard? And we're Americans. So we're the most like selfish people in Western society. We want to be the type of people that when we say, oh, we've had enough with COVID and it's over. It's like the race conversation. Okay, we've talked about race for 2 years. Don't want to talk about it anymore. It's over, right? Just because we as Americans want something to end doesn't mean it ends. And COVID is one of those things. It's a real freaking virus. You can catch it.
On that note, Shafiq, don't talk on both sides of your mouth. I'm going to start from there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This virus is as real as it gets. And, you know, sometimes we find ourselves generalizing why kids need to be in school. However, we have a health crisis, and we cannot put that over people's health. So we need to walk a fine line when we are generalizing why kids need to be in school. We all agree that kids need to be in school to get the best education. However, we are walking a fine line.
So listen, and let me tell you about the fine line, okay? The fact that we have vaccines available for children over the age of 5 and adolescents from 12 over the age of 12 that can get boosted there's access to vaccines so that students for sure, as well as adults who are staff, can be vaccinated, and it's proven that the symptoms can be milder if they do get COVID. So this no longer is a life and death situation where we were 2 years ago.
Marissa, there's a feedback. Shafiq, is that coming from your end? Okay, it is Shafiq.
No, it's not.
It was Shafiq. Go ahead.
Oh, it is Shafiq. Shafiq, mute your mic.
Yeah, he muted. Go ahead.
And so 2 years ago, we knew the fatality rate was significant 2 years ago. 2 years later, we have vaccine and advanced medication that has helped lives get through this virus. This is not, the fatality rate is not significant. Omicron variant has proven to be a milder disease. It's almost like having a similar flu. And we're technically in the flu season now. And because of the inconsistency across Connecticut, like Shafiq just mentioned, on mask use, we're starting to see flu cases rise again, where last year we didn't have any flu cases because we had a state mandate on mask use. And so we also have to make sure that we're following proper protocols in regards to being safe, like wearing a mask that is going to provide and yield that protection consistently. Washing your hands often, or sanitizing between when you're not able to wash your hands, and also social distancing. And AKA not going to indoor gatherings like Kingsley did in Michigan, going to a church with people that he realized after the fact were not vaccinated, right? We don't know what the status of other people that are not part of our immediate households are. So it's back to Shafiq's point. We have to remain guarded. We got to continue to be vigilant and wise about who we are surrounding ourselves with and who are we putting at risk when we make the choices that we make, because there are people that have immunocompromised situations and pre-existing the conditions that we can put at risk, that are our families and close friends, if we're not mindful of the activities, and I should say social activities, that we choose to do.
To my defense, going into church, there was no signs of the environment. That's first of all. I will compare that to, I was invited to a concert in Atlantic City, the hip hop legend concert with what's his name, KRS-One, and many
others. When was that?
That was Saturday.
Oh my God!
I didn't go.
Oh my God! Okay.
I didn't go. That was what's he call it? Our boy Hakim from Channel Live was performing with KRS-One. I didn't go to that concert because that's letting your guards down. That is the ultimate letting your guards down. Now, going into church, you know, everything that I found out was later on. But anyway, either way, I went to church. I didn't catch the virus, whatever, but it was a not-to-do thing. But back to the testing thing again, you know, like we said, you test 5 days late, 5 days, and you know, you're talking about isolation. How can you isolate while you are waiting for the test? And you just went to test just to make sure that you're good. It's not like you knew that you was.
So, Kingsley,
you had a symptom. You had no symptoms. You just went to test.
So, let me say this about faith leaders, because as a Christian, and I don't normally say that on the clock, it's important for faith leaders to lead by example.
Yes,
it is. If you know we're in the middle of a surge, then you should probably have alternative means to be able to offer services. My pastor immediately pivoted to online services to ensure the safety of his members. It is important for us to operate in wisdom. And the fact that there is church happening in the middle of Omicron, when many people were getting COVID, is not wise. Now, in regards to testing, anyone that's pending test results, whether you're going to work or school, should keep yourself at home to make sure that you have ruled out the possibility of having COVID if you have had an exposure or have symptoms. If you have symptoms, you should not be out and about operating in any capacity, shape, or form. And I think this is one of the things that comes up a lot for us when we're seeing super spreaders happening in the city, is mm-hmm. that people don't know when they should be out and about and when they should get tested. And so I think it's important for us to focus a little bit about testing after either you've been exposed or are symptomatic. And so if you have had COVID and you need to return back to work or school, the CDC did make the recommendation that after the fifth day, if your symptoms have improved, let me just emphasize, If you're still very sick, stay home. If your symptoms have improved, you can take a rapid antigen test, which is a home test kit, and you can get tested before you return to work or school. Now, what's important to emphasize is that a PCR test is not recommended. So a PCR test is no longer recommended once you've tested positive because the infection can be in your system for a period of time. Some people have seen it in their system for up to 90 days, and the gold standard of testing is very sensitive. What the rapid test is able to do is to demonstrate whether you have an active disease in your system currently. And so those are the two differences. And so when individuals become exposed and they're not vaccinated, they need to get tested and operate wearing a mask and things of that nature. When you're vaccinated, you can still operate in normal processes. You can go out. You just have to constantly wear a mask for the 10 days, and you can get tested at the fifth day if you choose to. Now, if you start developing symptoms before that, please get tested. And so we had to pivot to the rapid test antigen model because we know that PCR tests we don't have the capacity to meet that need. And now that we are to this level of advancement of the disease and it's going to continue to evolve, we want to make sure that testing accessibility at home is an option for people.
All right. This is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHH. I am your host, Kingsley Osei, my co-host, Shafiq. And if you are just joining us today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bold Minds and Twitter at Bold Minds. Also on my Facebook page, Kingsley Osei, as well as the New Haven Independent Facebook page. You can also stream this show on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. In the studio today, we have our special guest, Marissa Bond, who is the City of New Haven Health Director. Marissa, is this safe to say that the politicization of this virus is the reason we cannot get hold of the issue, getting rid of the problem? Is it safe to say so? And how does it affect your job, where you are also caught up in the crossfire of politics?
So I am very fortunate that I, in the city of New Haven, there's a separation between civic engagement and politics and the operations of government. My mayor is committed to operating on science and takes my recommendations to note. And we consistently inform the public of every process. And if you recall, the city of New Haven was the last city standing with the mask mandate because we were anticipating a surge. What we were not anticipating is the level of the Omicron variant to impact the community to this level. And thankfully, we did not have to institute a local mask mandate because we still had one in place. So for us in New Haven, it's vastly different. Is politics in the mix of the overall impact of COVID? Absolutely. We saw what happened in the administration when a prior administration that was in office and the debacle between COVID-19 messaging and the level of response and the efficiency of it. Mm-hmm. And so it created a government mistrust. And we decided to take a stance in New Haven and make sure that we can demonstrate that we as local government can be trusted. We worked with local grassroots leaders, and shout out to any local organizations, grassroots leaders that are on the ground doing the real work. We didn't have to be the ones leading everything. We simply served as conveners often to make sure that the proper local leaders had the resources and also the information to make sure that we were getting the message out and getting the message out correctly.
Shafiq, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but it was pretty embarrassing. I was watching a hearing. It was one of the Dr. Fauci hearing, and he had a piece of paper. You know, Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, has been going at him, and he had a piece of paper where, you know, he talked about, you know, somebody going to the White House from that was caught, I think, in Oklahoma, you know, on a mission to go kill the president as well as Dr. Fauci, and you know, he blamed it on you know, some of the stuff that Rand Paul has been saying. And then he pulled out a piece of paper that he had printed out where Rand Paul have on his page says, factor Dr. Fauci, and at the same time, donate $15 or whatever, you know, to me. So, you know, using this, you know, situation, using what's going on, threatening somebody's life just to raise money for your political, you know, purposes, I think it's way to the left. Shafiq, I'm not sure if you did see that or not.
No, I didn't see that, man. Listen, you know,
and don't downplay it neither.
I ain't downplaying it,
because you know, because you are a black Joe Manchin. You are black Joe Manchin.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's what I will say. This administration, this is my personal opinion, obviously, but I'm very disappointed at this Biden administration about how they're handling this virus. And the things around, I mean, just the issues around running out of test kits. It just seems to be like people seem to be more confused than ever as we are going into the next phase of what should be a government just reinstituting protocols and reminding people through education. This is not our first rodeo with this. And it's just like it's all this mass confusion. You get 1 minute, you get a congressperson, for instance, a Democrat congressperson blasting a Republican about virus, AOC. And then she pops up on a video in Florida with no mask on. And then a week later, she's tested positive for COVID-19. No kidding. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a virus, man. And folks need to stop trying to act like they can't get it. You can get it. You could get it by going to your Kroger or the Stop and Shop or your local gas station just because they said it's more highly infectious than any place else. So don't be on a high horse with it and be like, yo, it's a Republican, it's a Democrat, it's a virus, bro.
And I'm gonna let Marissa chime in after this, because there is one thing for letting your guard down for whatever reason, which is not excusable. There is another thing for spreading misinformation, which is why we cannot get anywhere with this. So we could blame Joe Biden for the lack of testing products. We could blame the administration for the lack of testing. However, it is not to be compared to watching people behind the White House podium giving out misinformation. The reason why Dr. Fauci's life is in danger right now is because he did not buy what Trump wanted to sell.
We don't know why Dr. Fauci.
We do know that for a fact. That was on TV. Go ahead.
First and foremost, let's not put Dr. Fauci on a pedestal. I'm not going to go there with you right at the moment. However, first of all, Harry has me cracking up. He told me to tell you, stop wearing cloth masks. Listen, there's a mass availability of rapid test kits. What's not available is the level of PCR test, because PCR test is more comprehensive. Yeah. And to try to get the results, as soon as there's a surge, it's hard to try to get timely results. And so the rapid antigen test is available for people. And if you haven't ordered your free test kit that Biden is offering to the residents of this world, go to covidtest.gov. You can get test kits delivered to you.
Can you say that one more time? Can you say that?
COVID, and then I put it in the chat as well. Yeah. So covidtest.gov. Listen, all you have to do is put your name and your address. They're not asking any other information, because I ordered my free test kits. It can be delivered right to your door by UPS. And you can put your email address only if you want to track the package delivery date.
Awesome.
So, but what I want to say is, if Kinsley puts Dr. Fauci on a pedestal one more time, I'm just over it. The fact of the matter is that science does continue to evolve. Yeah. And there you go, Harry. See, that's what I'm saying. Or Harry has ordered his. So what we want to make sure is that the science does continue to evolve, and it's important to get informed with correct information. So what we did in the city of New Haven is that we created a risk communication committee that comprised of local community leaders from every single level, because we also have to think about health literacy. The issue that we're dealing with is that a lot of this information that's coming out has high technical jargon for medical individuals or people. It's not easily understood. And so not only are there myths that were being put out there, and people, you know, promoting oblivious things on local social media outlets, mm-hmm. but then you also have people developing content that's not even easily understood. So we make sure that when we started promoting the rapid test kits, that we also promote educational instructional videos, because I'm a different learner. Like, I don't want to just be reading a 3-pager on how to take a test. Can I just visually see how to administer it so then I can do it? So we made sure that was available. What's also sad is that here it is 2021, and we're still dealing with the fact that people are not promoting things for people that have language barriers. So we had to record the instructional rapid test video with a Spanish voiceover just to meet at least the second highest language in the United States, which is Spanish. And so it's important for us when we're talking about our response to COVID, that we're thinking about the population that we serve in general, and then also making sure that it's health literacy appropriate so that it can be understood. And
pay him no mind. I keep telling you, take your eye away from the chat, Marissa.
I'm not doing it. Harry's my new friend.
Yeah, Harry's your new MAGA friend.
Oh, here we go.
I have to be impartial. This COVID-19 doesn't care if you're a Democrat.
It's what it is.
Or independent. I have to. Yeah. I have to
and you know what, Kingsley? You're like AOC right now. You're like AOC. Oh, man. You're sitting over here thinking about, man, let me tell you about the virus. It's about the Republicans. Man, let me tell you about this. Then you go to a red state, okay? You go to a church where you don't know nobody with a non-vaccine, vaccine-only, COVID-only, cough-only section. You then get contaminated, and then you come back and go, well, I didn't know. I didn't see the virus.
Did I tell you I tested positive? No, I did not. I did not. Okay, then. So leave me out of this.
Kinsley, you put yourself in it. You started
Marissa, I lived in the middle of Madison Avenue during the high limit of the pandemic and survived it when everybody was running out of New York City.
And you go to Michigan and didn't survive.
No, I survived. I'm just telling you what was going on. I didn't tell you I tested positive. I didn't. I'm just telling you what was going on. Now let's get real with the numbers, Marissa. Where are we with the numbers across in the country between red and blue states? Where are these numbers higher?
This is what we know about the United States. 97% of the cases that are happening in the United States are predominantly Omicron. So we know that Omicron is going rampant and it's affecting us. Across Connecticut, it is also the predominant variant. What we are seeing is a shift and decline in cases this week. So the daily positivity rate for Connecticut is about 18% right now. Where last week we were seeing it well into the 40s and in the city of New Haven high in the 36. Now, this is what you need to know about data, okay? I'm just going to keep it real because I always have to tell the truth.
Yep.
The daily positivity rate, it is not an accurate number, people. It is not an accurate number. You know why? Because all of you taking home rapid tests, including myself, that is unreported. So when we think that we have a positivity rate of whatever percent that is, you need to just add to it, because we do not know the real positivity case rate, because there's no way for home test kits to be reported in any type of shape, manner, or form. Mm-hmm. And so we can talk about data if you want to. It's only subjective at this juncture, unfortunately, because of the level of rapid tests that are available and the number of people taking them on a daily basis.
Now, I have a niece who lives in, she goes to James Madison University, lives in Alexandria, Virginia, and her household was, catching the virus. And she left home, went to go get tested, and they were charging her about $150 to $200. I know that you guys do a pretty good job getting information out, but what I did realize was the information is not out enough in certain, and this is not, had nothing to do with your area. However, I advise, go to your, city of Alexandria website, go to the health department website, find out, You know, there's got to be resources out there to get free testing. You do not have to pay $150, $200. Surely enough, I did all the work, you know, find out all these different places she could get testing. And then she followed it and went and got free testing. However, when you go to get testing, there is all these options. If you have insurance card, you get tested for free, you get your results back within a couple of days or whatnot. If you could choose to pay out of pocket, about $200. I did get a message the other day in the Hamptons, Sag Harbor. They were charging $500 for testing in the Hampton. Now, if
and
you don't,
that is unfortunate that the private sector is doing that.
Right. I'm getting there. And then if you don't have insurance, that's another option that, yes, you could get it. They said is the you could get it and it could take 5 days or more to get that results back. What is really going on about this
that's an example of some misinformation for certain. If you want to know where there is free testing, I don't understand what's happening, but let me say this.
Says, I don't believe. So Harry, our producer, says, I don't believe Kingsley.
This is the thing. That's really a lot of misinformation. What we want to tell people is that your local government, if you go to ct.gov, you click on the local testing sites for your respective city, because I do not recognize that there's probably people listening from all over Connecticut. And all of our testing sites in the city of New Haven is also available and listed in the city of New Haven COVID-19 hub page. What is important to know that is that you should, if you have insurance, yes, we want to be able to charge the insurance, but it should be free and no cost to the individual. And that's what's important to promote. If you're underinsured or not insured, there's already a federal rule around not charging or billing the individual. So please check with the testing site, go to a reputable website, which is like ct.gov. It can give you the testing sites all throughout Connecticut. It should be no cost to you. And if you live out of state, like, I don't know, he gave an example of Virginia.
My niece lives in Virginia.
Yeah, like, make sure that you're visiting the local government page in Virginia also, or other states, because all the free testing sites are listed. Be careful with any scammers of any private entities that may be trying to charge. And it doesn't matter if you're insured or not insured in Connecticut. You're going to get your results the exact same time that you took your test. It doesn't matter about coverage levels. What we found during, that's right, the executive order that was signed.
Marissa, didn't I tell you to stop reading this, guys?
Harry's
you,
on your front.
You will be distracted by Harry.
Here's what you got to explain to me, Kinsley, and we're going to keep it at that. You got to explain to me all of the Democrats in the House and in the Senate that have been talking to us, you know, President Trump stuff and Republicans and the virus. And then they turn around and they show up with no mask on in a whole nother state,
Shafiq, we just talked about that. That's being caught up with your guards. You know, that is letting your guards down.
That's called misinformation.
Shafiq, no, that's not misinformation. It's not the same.
It's a choice. It's a choice that people are making.
That is not misinformation. And that is not the same thing as getting on the on.
That is not the same thing as taking your
bully pulpit and telling people misinformation. It is not the same, bro.
At the end of the day, this is a bipartisan issue, guys. It doesn't matter if you are, I keep saying this, it doesn't care if about your social status political status. This virus will come for you. It doesn't, it really doesn't even care about your race or gender, background, or your religious beliefs. You can pray all you want. If you don't operate in wisdom, you're going to get COVID. And so let's not operate in ignorance, people. Let's be wise. Get the proper information. Work with your local city leaders to be able to get access to the information or even rapid test kits that you need to. Because at the end of the day, we're here for you. And I always try to say, you know, regardless of what my political status is and what I do in my personal time, as the health director, I have a responsibility for all people that I serve.
Right. So basically,
let's not to forget too, if I could just add this.
Go ahead.
You know, and this is, I'm going back to it because I think it is important. I think that, you know, when you are in the public spotlight like that, and you are an elected official or you're somebody even like the health director, you cannot take a hard line If you're going to take a hard line stance about it and make it what we see it playing out in the political arena, then make sure that when you are traveling and you're going places and you're going to be on social media, be conscious of how you're going to be presented.
For real.
If you're saying wear a mask and the Republican and wear a mask and the, you know, they're not, you know, then don't show up.
And you're traveling in the middle of a surge.
Yeah. Don't show up in a whole nother, like close, almost a whole nother opposite side of the country or a whole nother country in a party. And, you know, then 2 weeks later, you got COVID and nobody don't hear nothing from you. At least if you get COVID, come back on the air and say, hey, listen, I know I had said this and I did go. I had a lot on my mind. I needed a break. I did some self-care. And unfortunately, I contracted COVID during my travels. Here's what you should not do. And I've learned
Correct.
From that.
And that, let that be a life lesson. But to
get a tweet that says, AOC got tested positive for COVID. Golly, bro.
It sounds like you got it out for AOC.
Listen, Shafiq, don't be talking about AOC either, because that's a fellow Latina. So, you know, I have to
exactly.
represent also.
No, he got it out for Shafiq. He's a black Joe Manchin of West Virginia. That's what he is.
First of all, Kinsley, adios mio. Go ahead.
On that note, I should tell my brother Shafiq that you cannot be a youth gun violence advocate. And then at the same time, be an anti-gun, whatever.
Figure it out, because you're making stuff up.
And being an anti-gun control. You can't be both either, all right? Yeah. You can't be both either.
Well,
I'm going to take it there with you.
You can't be both. Listen, you can't be a pro-vaxxer and be all about the COVID and then say...
And then running on vacation somewhere in the middle of a pandemic.
And then you run on vacation in the middle of a pandemic.
Hey, I keep my mask. Look, man.
He said he didn't see the virus. That's why he went to church.
I keep my 3-ply mask on. All right?
Try to get an N95. We're giving those out in masses. I will.
I keep my 3-ply mask on.
You went in the church and said, I don't see COVID in here. We look pretty good.
okay, so that's it for now COVID versus Omicron. Now that the test come out and say, oh, you tested negative with no virus,
obviously the laboratory tests do not have the capacity to do direct individual observations. What they do is a large sampling of it and see where the virus is. So we do know that 97% of the cases of individuals testing positive are indeed Omicron. So it is Delta has sort of shifted the other direction, and now Omicron is certainly the variant that is leading the cases in the country and in Connecticut.
Harry's
my new friend.
Except
Harry is not really Boricua, so we're gonna talk about that some other time.
No, he is. Come on, man.
No, he's not.
For the record, y'all see that? Marissa, you see that?
I'm good. I can show you mine.
Negative. Negative. All right. Okay. So, Marissa, since you are
So you took a COVID test while he was on the radio.
I beheaded.
What in the world is going on? Man, take that test. You test yourself for the wrong reasons. Oh, my gosh.
Marissa.
Oh, now you like Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony for real?
Exactly. Marissa, so we got a few minutes. We got about 5 more minutes or less. You are running for Secretary of State.
So technically I'm on the clock, so we can't really talk about that.
You can make a little announcement.
Chill out.
We're trying to give her a platform.
My local alder is on the call.
No.
Your local alder want to be a comedian.
Listen, man. No. We're trying to keep you spiritually healthy, but just know, no matter how much you pray, you still can't see this virus with your own two eyes, bro.
I hope you know that. Anyway, Marissa, we brought you on to really settle the you know, not settle, because you can never settle this. People are going to do what they want to do. People are going to get their information from Joe Rogan and, you know, whoever, get their information from politicians or whatever. But we brought you here basically say, hey, guys, please take your information from scientists and people in healthcare departments, because everybody got opinion. And nobody's opinion means nothing to me rather than the experts at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yes. And if you say Dr. Fauci one more time, you and I are going to have an offline conversation. Yes. So that's putting him on a pedestal. He put his, so he's in the position he's in now for many reasons. And so we're not...
You know, no. That's my whole point. That's my whole point. The man has been in the position for damn near 50 years or whatever. But then it takes...
And maybe we need leadership change.
It takes one administration to say that he's this and that and that. I pay attention to all that. You know what I'm saying? You know,
attention to a lot also. And you know what? Again, you know, when you're looking at it from every single angle, you know, Dr. Fauci has a lot of responsibility.
Right.
And maybe assessing his leadership is something that needs to happen. People sometimes have to shift, and we need to bring new, you know, new blood in to be able to give different perspective on this virus. So for the people that are watching, I would just want to thank you for your time. As the local health director for New Haven, I just want you to commend those that are staying guarded and are making sure that they stay safe. Please get vaccinated if you're not vaccinated. If you haven't figured this out by now, this virus is real. And we know that the vaccine can at least save lives. Even if you contract the virus, it'll be much milder than when you're not vaccinated. We've seen the impact. We've come this far. Stay on guard and stay safe. And with that, I'm going to turn it over back to our host. Thank you, Shafiq. Thank you, Kinsley. And Harry, it's such a pleasure meeting you virtually. You are my new friend. Stay in touch.
Well, thank you.
Is there
very
a
much.
Number that people can call?
You can give us a call at 203-946-6999. Definitely ask for the specific question you have. If you need information about our clinic hours or where there's a local testing site near you, COVID-19, cityofnewhavenhub.com, you will find that information there. We're here to serve you.
And is there a COVID hotline for people?
Is the local health department number. We had a hotline early on 2 years ago when everything else was shut down.
Already. So, hey, Shafiq, I'm purchasing my plane ticket to Ghana in the end of June after this call. So you've been talking about it. If you want to be about it.
I was just talking about it and I was just daydreaming.
Okay.
I don't travel during the pandemic.
This is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHH. Harry, can you lower that, please? I am your host, Kinsley Osei. And if you are just joining us in the last part of our show, you can follow the conversation on Facebook at Bull Minds. You can also follow me on my Facebook page, Kinsley Osei. You can also stream this show and previous shows on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. Thank you for joining us. And remember, Urban Talk Radio airs every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Marissa Bach, thank you very much for joining us.
Stay safe, everyone. All right. Bye.
Hey, King, remember this? You don't want to know about that. Remember the snake?
Hi, guys. It was so much fun.
All right. Good job, King. Excellent show.